Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to the beginning of this day of the Ask the Experts weekend. My name is Josh McCarthy with WOKV, and I'm here to welcome you to a special day because this is a place where you come to receive all kinds of expert information from local business owners and leaders in your local area. Today, as you know, at this time is usually Pete Hardworka, with Pete the Job Guy Langlois. But as we know, he is a very, very hard worker, so he needs some time off to rest and recuperate. And when he does, there's only one person he lets fill his shoes and fill his microphone. And that is, of course, Lori Day. And she's the Director of Client Strategy and Development at CGI. And welcome back to the airwaves of WOKV, Lori. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks. And yeah, hard worker for sure, Pete is, and not sure where he's at, but good morning to all of you out there. It is a fine Sunday morning out there. The November weather is wonderful. I want to welcome you to the Hard Worker Radio Show. I am Lori Day, your takeover host, and have the pleasure of being here with you when Pete, well, when he does whatever it is he does when he's not here. As our producer Josh said, this show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. In fact, some of the content comes directly from you. Folks, if you have a situation you'd like Pete and his guests to discuss on the air, or if you'd like some private advice, you can connect with Pete directly through his email at pete@petethejobguide.com. Who knows? Your topic might spark an idea for a whole episode. So each week, we do have experts that come and share their tips and experiences to help you. We like to say we focus on feed forward instead of feedback. We share lessons of success and hard knocks to help you hopefully avoid the pitfalls, but really to be proactive about achieving your goals. So congratulations. Guess what? You win. The listeners of the Hard Worker Show are committed to themselves and their jobs and their companies. You could have slept in and just hung out this morning, but you chose to get up, get ready, and get sharp because you are a hard worker. And therefore, you win. Yay! We have a great show for you today. In a few minutes, you're going to meet my amazing guest and my niece, Joanne Stewart. Joanne is the owner and co-brewer at the award-winning first and only brewery in the unincorporated Nassau County called SJ Brewing Company. We're going to talk with Joanne about how turning a hobby into a business can happen and how important building a community is to building a business. Have you ever heard the saying, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life? Well, I have news for you. That's not really true. It's kind of true. But here's the deal. Any job, any work, any company is going to have hard work, have things that aren't really fun to do. So what is true is when you have the opportunity to take the things that you're really good at and you apply them in a way that adds value, then you have an opportunity to not only have a good job or have a good company, but you have a much easier way of being productive, successful, and fulfilled. Did you notice that I didn't say it made you happier? Well, that's a topic for a whole nother day. But really, when you think about how you can align what you do with what you're good at, that's a very important factor. But that's not it. I heard the brilliant businesswoman and author, Carla Harris, who, by the way, is from Jacksonville, Florida, say, "It isn't your job's job to fulfill every aspect of your life." Let me let that soak in just a minute, and I'll say it again. It isn't your job's job to fulfill every aspect of your life. If you are in a job that you're really good at what you do, the environment is where you're growing and developing, you've got people around you that are helping you gain experience, then that's awesome. Be grateful. You can look to the external activities to fulfill some of those other things you want in life, such as your philanthropic needs, your creativity, fitness, relationships, just fill in the blank, whatever those other things you're looking for. I know many people who volunteer their talents and their time to organizations outside of their work responsibilities because that's their way to give back. That's their way to help change the world. I know plenty of fitness instructors who do that as a side job because that's really where they fulfill their need for physical fitness and wellness. A lot of people I know who do crafts, they write, they decorate, woodwork, all kinds of things to fulfill their need for creativity. So all of that can be put together. But what if there's something that you do that you want to step out and make a business out of it? How do you know? How do you know if your hobby is business worthy? Well, I'll break it into two things, at least to start with. One is you need to write a business plan with facts and figures. And two, you need to conduct some emotional soul searching about that. So building a business plan, number one, is a great way to see the whole picture of a successful business. You can do that independently. There's a lot of great resources available online that can get you started. Or you can engage with resources like the Small Business Development Center at UNF or the Jacksonville Women's Business Center. They have great resources for aspiring women entrepreneurs. Even your CPA is a great resource to help you start building a business plan. And here are six things, if you're doing that, that you want to think about. One is your mission statement. Super simple. Make sure that you've got an overview that states why your business exists. It needs to communicate what kind of problem you're solving and what solution you have for that problem. This is kind of your who, what, when, where, why, and how statements. Secondly, your market opportunity. You need to have a clear and compelling summary of why there's a market for your product and services. Is there a gap? And starting your business will fill that? Like they say, necessity is the mother of invention. So oftentimes that's where something can start. There also needs to be a competitive overview stating why your products and services can thrive. For example, maybe people or businesses need what you do or can make, but they can't do it themselves because it's a specialized skill. Or maybe they have a specialized skill and could do what you have to offer, but they'd prefer to outsource that service so that they can focus on, again, what they are really specialized in. The third thing you need to think about is explaining the elements of a product and a service. It is what you're going to do, one piece of a bigger value stream. For example, is it just the production of something, or is it just the distribution, or is it the whole thing? Are you doing a product, or is it a service, and how does that fit? And what will resonate most with your customers and your investors and the overall marketplace is a really important part to include in that description. Next, you got to know your sales and your marketing plan. How many items or contracts will be sold in what time period? And will that look like it's profitable? We'll talk about finances in a minute. What kind of investment will you need in order to get started, or will you be making in the business yourself? And where will that come from? How will you drive customers to be aware of what you're doing and create that pull where they're coming to you for what you have? And then certainly when you think about the profitability, what the margins are, what are those assumptions you're using and are they realistic? Your team is going to be a really important part of your business plan. You might be a solopreneur and that's great, but you may have a business or a service where you need specialists to help you to run the business. So you need to describe what kind of skills, training, or attitudes that you're going to need. And even if they're not part of your team as an employee, you'll want to describe what kind of experts or advisors you'll need to support your business getting started and being sustainable. And lastly, your finances. The financials are going to provide the cold, hard truth about whether this is a business or a hobby. And that's not to say you can't make money with a hobby. You certainly can. I know a lot of people that will create things or do things, and as a passion project, they make a little money, but it's really not a business. Your financials are going to tell you by looking at a methodical, realistic assumption that spans over 1, 3, maybe even 5 years, and it can tell that compelling story to you, most importantly, but also to any potential investors that you have that you're going to seek. So that's your business plan. Let's talk a little bit about the soul searching part. This is what it's really important for you personally. The first thing you need to know, what is your why? Why do you want this to be a business? That might take asking that question, why, 5 times. To get to the real reason. What are you willing to give up for this business? What different condition do you want to create by having this business? This really is your future view. What is going to happen? What is going to look different as a result of this business coming to life? The other thing you need to think about, if this is something you're good at, then that seems pretty simple. But are you passionate enough about it to be consistent in delivering? And what I mean by that, it might be really fun to do when the mood strikes you, when you can come and go and take it as you leave it, do it here or there. But if you're using this skill or creativity or whatever that is to pay your bills, this now changes the idea of you're having to do it day in, day out, not on necessarily your schedule, but what the customers who you are going to serve demand. And finally, who are the people that you know or need to know who are going to help you? And how are you going to engage them? So those are the things that can kind of give you your first landscape of where your business is. But let's take a quick break. You're listening to The Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, and I'm your favorite guest host, Lori Day. We'll be right back.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
That's our sponsor, Angie Staffing. I highly recommend you call Angie for all of your staffing needs. Her number, once again, 904-733-8880. And she's bringing back the hustle. So I mentioned earlier my guest, but let me tell you a little bit more about Joanne Stewart. Joanne has been or was in the financial services business for 20 years, almost 20 years. Let's just say that. She is a competitive equestrian and horse rider, and she has her degree from George Washington University. It's in business with an emphasis in finance, and is the owner and co-brewer of SJ Brewing Company. She and her husband have had that business now for a little more than a year. Wow, Joanne, that is quite a diverse background. So let me just ask the question. Was beer and beer making a hobby? And if so, what inspired you to change this to a business?
When about 9 years ago, eight, 9 years ago, when Sean and I were first dating, I bought him a Mr. Beer kit for Christmas. And
awesome.
That just became a quick passion of his. And he was quickly brewing 2-3 times a week and we were having to give it away because we had so much beer at the house. So it just became a quick love for him. I kind of learned the process along the way, but you know, it was really his passion at the beginning. Then about 2 years ago, I joked that we had our midlife crisis together, that we both were at a place where we wanted a change. And so we decided to both kind of quit our jobs and open a brewery.
That's pretty scary.
It's terrifying and exciting at the same time.
Awesome. Well, at least you had a lot of beer to help you get through it, right?
A lot of beer.
So I think I read and we talked about that there was a city ordinance. And when I announced your where your brewery is in Nassau County. Tell us a little bit about what you had to go through to get that started.
Well, we're in Yulee, Florida, so it's the unincorporated Nassau County. And there was an ordinance that required, in order for you to have your license to sell beer and wine on premises, you had to have 70% of your sales from food. And we just wanted to be a brewery. We didn't want to have the food side of it. We didn't want to do, you know, we didn't want to be a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So we went with our, you know, the county commissioner and the county attorney, and they helped us do the stuff that we needed to do to get that ordinance removed.
Well, that's a quite a big deal. I mean, when you think about it, again, going from I've got a hobby and I'm going to take a path to convert that to a business, that's not just, you know, putting a shingle out. That's really paving the way for being the first mm-hmm. and the only right now brewery in Yulee. So that's amazing. Good for you guys. And so I also mentioned about your love of horses. You're an equestrian. You've ridden competitively. You've trained other horses and you've trained riders. And I understand one of your fan favorites is a beer that's named after your horse.
Oh, yes. It's actually my favorite beer on tap right now. We call it the Bunny Brown Ale because my horse, her name is Brown Bunny. So we had to name a beer after her.
Awesome.
So.
Did you name all of your beers after kind of things that were near and dear to your heart?
Some of them were just like things that Sean and I would say, or we try to get a lot of the community involved too. Like our bartenders will keep a sheet. Like if somebody has, oh, this is a great beer name, you know, we let a lot of our customers help us name our beers, which they find really exciting because then it's like, ah, it's my beer.
Oh, yeah. That goes back to your marketing plan that we were talking about. How do you get the pull? Well, if you've got Nana's beer, and that's an inside joke, I guess it's not inside anymore. She used to call me Nana when we were little. I was little. She was littler. So, yeah, I would always want to have a Nana beer if we had one of those. But anyway, that's for a different topic.
So, it could be a banana beer.
I see a lot of banana kind of beers. I like that. Good, Josh. So how do you know that you've got a good product, though?
Well, fortunately, because Sean homebrewed for so long, he was able to get a lot of feedback from, like, the local, the Jacksonville the Homebrewers Club. And he was able to enter a lot of competitions, and he won some awards, and he got a lot of really good feedback from that. And that's kind of how we decided to open the brewery. The nearest homebrew club was almost an hour away, so it was like 45 minutes to an hour to drive. And to do that once a month was a little tough sometimes. So we wanted a place, you know, that we could have a homebrew club nearby, and also realizing, well, there was no brewery that close. The Amelia Tavern's the only other one in the somewhat area, but they're still 15 miles away. So we wanted something local, a place that was, you know, could be a hangout so that he could get more and more feedback.
Well, that's great. And I love the idea that, you know, you're not keeping all the secrets to yourself. You've been successful, but you're also bringing in local homebrewers around that can learn and be together. So that's awesome. And when you think about who you had to engage, kind of what I was talking about in the business plan, who are some of the people that you brought around you to help you get everything up and running and to keep it sustained?
Well, fortunately, I had, you know, obviously a lot of family support, you know, between you and my parents and, you know, the rest of my family. And that family support also was a lot of business-minded people. So we were able to tap into that. And the other thing that's nice is the brewing community is so welcoming. I mean, you can go into any brewery, and if the owner's there or the brewer, and they'll answer any questions you have. So I was able to call some friends of mine in Tampa that own a brewery, and just some of the local breweries around here in Jacksonville. You could go in and say, hey, you know, I got questions. How did you do this? How did you handle this? And so, you know, the community is very welcoming. And a lot of times we do even collaborations with other breweries. Like, I'll go brew with you, you come brew with me, so we can co-market together. It's not, although you want to win, you want them to come in second behind you.
There you go. Well, the saying that we all rise together is really true, because when you look back 5, 10, well, not even 5 years ago, there were very few craft breweries in Jacksonville, Northeast Florida area. And now it's one of the big draws. And so that creates a very welcoming economic proposition for us that we haven't had. So good for you for not only being a trailblazer in that space, but also helping others join along. You mentioned brewing, and you're the only, if not one of the only, female brewers in Northeast Florida, which I think is totally cool.
Yeah, for right now in the Jacksonville area, as far as I know, I'm the only one that's actually, you know, doing the actual brewing. There's quite a few other women owners and women that are in the industry, but right now I'm the only one actually doing the brewing, at least for now.
That's awesome. That's great. So Joanne, when kind of going back to that business plan and how you take your hobby into your business, what would be some of the things that you would suggest to other people, whether it's in the same type of business you're in or, you know, just anything, someone who really loved what they were doing and felt like they wanted to branch out and make a living at doing that? What would you recommend people do?
Well, a lot of it is making sure that you talk to your immediate community, also the people that you're planning on, you know, selling your product to. We are very good about listening to our customers. So if there's something that they are interested in, whether it be a beer type or even some type of event, having a really fantastic product is not going to ever be enough. You're going to have a reason for that person to come to you, a reason for them to buy yours over somebody else's. So a lot of that, again, is just listening to our customers, like, okay, what would you like to see? What would you like to have here? And being willing to be adjustable.
So I'm just thinking about you guys are brewing at home. It's fun. You're getting some good feedback. You're enjoying the beer. The family, we are enjoying the beer too. But there was more certainly to go around. But then converting it, you said that you and Sean both just quit your jobs and started doing this. That's certainly a leap of faith. But what kind of planning did you have to do in order to do that?
Well, we were able to get with some different people in even our immediate community, starting with the county, the licensing, all of the zoning commissioners and everything. So we started with them, and they helped us figure out what the ordinances were and different locations, things we could do. There is also some people through the state that you can contact that will help you with business plans and things like that. And I started in with a Network of Women, which is a fantastic organization, that just a group of women that we all support each other and help each other out. And if there's any questions that you have, we're able to just troubleshoot. So that's been really good too, and having all of that support. And then you don't know what you don't know. So you just kind of start asking questions.
Right. So personally though, that had to take some planning. If you go from, you both have a job and your income's coming there, to saying, okay, I need to stop doing that, which means the income stops, and jump out and start selling beer.
Right.
And how did you prepare yourself for that?
I was fortunate that I had an investment, like a townhouse that I had. So I had some decent equity in that. So we were able to sell that for some savings. I was also very fortunate that I had a wonderful employer that I worked with on and off for 9 years, and she was our biggest supporter. So I basically gave her a year's notice, and she helped me. She'd done several businesses of her own, and she really helped me a lot along the way. And then Sean, he's a self-employed pressure washer, so he was able to get his son to start doing a lot of the business side, so we still have some income, and we just cut back.
There it is. See, and that kind of goes back to some of the questions. What am I willing to give up? What's it worth to me? And is this really something that I'm going to be willing to have the perseverance to get through? So great insights. So with that, I hear the music. It's time for our bottom of the hour break. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back, Hard Workers. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. And if you just joined us, I'm not Pete. I'm Lori Day, guest host for Pete today while he is out and away. Welcome back. We are going to kick off our second half of the show with some advice from Coach Larry. He always has great tips and perspectives, and today is no exception. Thanks, Larry. Go for it.
We had a request about how to manage intergenerational teams. Thank you so much for submitting this request. Here's a fun fact. For the first time in history, we have 5 generations in the workplace. You got your traditionalists, my mom and dad, your boomers, your Xers, that's me. You got your millennials and your Gen Zers. There is even a micro generation called X-illennials, who are sandwiched between Generation X and millennials. Millennials span 15 years of time, Gen Xers span 20 years, and boomers span 18 years. So there has to be some differences in communication, in values, work ethic, right? So I got curious. I did some research on the Google, and I found that there are over 8 million websites that cover the topic, managing intergenerational teams. This is a hot topic. Exciting. I found one of the largest staffing agencies did some research on this, and they break it down this way. Warning, sarcasm begins now. When it comes to communication style, baby boomers tend to be more reserved. Of course they are. They're old. So, of course, they'd be reserved. Gen Xers favor control and command style. Well, of course, now they're more senior in the organizations, and they need to manage the work. They are the ones that get things done. Millennials prefer a more collaborative approach to communication. Well, of course, they grew up with the internets and Facebook. In school, they worked as teams, and everyone got a trophy. Generation Z prefer in-person interactions. Okay, I don't know much about them, but maybe the pendulum is swinging back from casting a wide net for Gen X to now maybe having more trusted relationships. Now, it could be that there are some tendencies in these generations that span decades and have millions of people included in the group. But could it be that we as humans like to put things into boxes so that we can better get our heads around something? Well, that's more likely. I'm of a younger generation than my mom, obviously. But she was doing online banking well before me. She was on WhatsApp, Facebook, Insta, Twitter, and more. I do LinkedIn, and that's about it. Also, I work with millennials. But I'm the one who wants a better work-life balance, whereas we're told that millennials work to live and Gen X live to work. So here's where I stand, if you haven't guessed already. Putting people into these boxes could be interesting, but it's dangerous. You have a greater chance of alienating someone on your team because you assume something about them because of the generation to which they belong. So tip number one, when working with different generations, is to check your biases. Do you assume that someone who is young doesn't know what they're talking about because they have too little experience? Do you assume that someone older than you is too set in their ways or too cautious? Do you tend to confide or have better relationships with people who are in your same generation? Then you have some work to do. Get curious about your biases when it comes to age. As a matter of fact, you can take the Harvard's Implicit Bias Test on age by going to implicit.harvard.edu. It's free and all generations like free. But apparently the traditionalist generation likes it more than the others. Tip number two is the platinum rule. Treat them like they want to be treated, not how you want to be treated. Sound difficult? You mean I need to know about everyone's preferences? Yes, at least the people who report to you. How do they like to be communicated with? How do they like to be managed? How do they like recognition and rewards? How do they like to work? And what do they like and not like about work? I remember one of my directs would come in after 9 a.m. I was there at 7 a.m. I thought she wasn't motivated. I left at 5 because I had two young kids at home. I assumed she left soon after me. Turns out she rarely left before 7 p.m. What made it okay for me to leave at 5? Because I had kids? Her kids were out of the house, so I judged her and had some biases around her. At the end of the day, she was an extremely dedicated employee who liked to spend time with her husband in the mornings. So we, as a team, did the best we could not to meet before 9:30 a.m. Finally, you are one person on the team. It takes a whole team to appreciate what is unique about each individual and what you all have in common. I recommend quarterly meetings so that everyone can connect as human beings. When we see people as people and not as objects or something to be manipulated, then we work better together. When we see that we have some things in common, like having kids and not having kids, or the love of 80s goth music, then we grow closer. So take the time every quarter to make the time for people to learn more about each other on the team. So how do you connect as a team? Let us know. Connect with me via LinkedIn or go to my website, mendozaandobrien.com. And keep your recommendations and questions coming.
Thank you, Larry. Always great advice. If you've just tuned in, we are talking with our amazing guest today, Joanne Stewart. She is owner and co-brewer at SJ Brewing Company. I understand you just learned some great news earlier this week. Folio Weekly just announced that SJ Brewing Company has won, not one, but it seems like a million awards. Can I read them off?
Sure.
So first place, this is in Folio, first place, 8 different first place awards. Best brewery, best brew pub, best new bar, best tap house, best Belgian style beer. You cannot say all these if you had a beer. I'm telling you, it's too many B's. Best brewed lager, best brewed pale ale, best brewed porter, best brewed sour, and see, I told you, I can't say it if you've got too much in your mouth. Best brewed stout. So that's actually 10. That's 10 mm-hmm. first place. That's amazing.
How many beers do you have on tap?
We always have 12, at least 12.
So almost all of your beers are award-winning beers?
Well, this was, for the folio, this was from the community voting.
Right.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
That's incredible.
And then there was 2 second place. One was the best neighborhood bar and best brewed IPA. And then 3rd place had the best beer bar and best beer selection. So 1 year in business plus 2 months, but mm-hmm. man, that's incredible. So again, going back to, you know, how did that happen? You just mentioned that that was a crowd selection that was done through Folio, where they, your patrons came in and voted for you and said that you had all of these wonderful things that made them happy. Well, how do you do that? How do you build that type of a community?
Well, a lot of it, I think, has to do with Sean and I are always there. So we're there talking to our customers. It's more, you know, we've built a lot like a family environment. We are family friendly, so we have parents that bring their kids there so that they can come hang out a little bit. And we try to have different events and things that people can enjoy, such as sometimes on Wednesdays we'll do like a Pictionary night. Every Tuesday we do trivia. Sometimes we have live music. But we try to make it very like almost like a community center. And then we're able to, the fact that Sean and I are there and can have conversations, people really feel like they are involved in the business, and it really makes them fight for us.
So not only that, I think if I remember correctly, there's been some awards also won at a state and a national and maybe even international level. What kind of awards have you gotten outside of just the local community?
Well, in March, we got a bronze medal for our Belgian quad, and that was at the Best Florida Beer Competition. So that was a statewide competition for professional brewers. And then in July, I think it was July, we won for our Schwartz beer, which is a dark lager. It's a black lager. And we got a bronze medal, and that was at the U.S. Open, which is open to it's open to breweries all over the world. That was an international competition. So that was very exciting.
So that says a couple of things to me. One, you've got obviously some really good talent in making the beer, but that sounds like there's also some really good consistency, because these weren't just all the local favorites that are here, but you've gotten some perspective from players from all over. Talk about how you guys manage your quality and your consistency of your beer making.
Well, we keep track of all of our recipes, like everything that we do as we're brewing the beer. We take notes throughout so that we can compare even the taste at the beginning and the taste at the end. And then entering the competitions, we get a lot of feedback from the judges. So you're able to figure out, you know, what you need to tweak, what's really good, what's comparable to the other breweries out there. So that's why we like entering the competitions. And then it's also listening to your client, your customer, what they're liking about the beer, what they're not.
So you have all these different activities, and so they get to have beer with Pictionary and beer with...
Absolutely.
All that.
Sometimes crafts, we get other local businesses to come in and do things with us. You know, like some of the crafts are local women that they'll bring their stuff to us, or we do a paddle and a pint, which is with Amelia Island Adventures Kayaking. You know, they take you out kayaking and then they bring you back to our place for a beer. So, I mean, it's just we're trying to get out there, try to build friends. And Sean and I have made tons of really wonderful close friends since we've opened.
Well, that's great. I've seen some yoga pictures, too, on your mm-hmm. Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, the yoga, that's just simply, it's not through a company. That's one of our regulars that she just says, hey, I'm a yoga instructor. Would you like to do yoga? I was like, yeah, let's do it. So we do the yoga once a month too now.
That's great. So regulars. So you mm-hmm. have some regulars. Does everybody know your name kind of thing?
Oh, like absolutely. Our regulars, they help us name the beers. In fact, we have a beer named after one of our snowbirds that's there very regularly.
Is that your Pete's Pale Ale?
That's our Pete's Cream Ale.
Oh,
absolutely.
The Cream Ale.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Pete, we love you for coming and getting
Pete.
That beer going, because that's one of our favorites. So when you think about your regulars that come in and building the that community. How does that help your business? So if one of the hard workers out there are thinking, okay, how do I create a community for what I might want to do? What are the benefits to having that community in the business?
Well, ultimately, that's who you're selling to. So you're going to want to make sure that you are fulfilling a need that they have. So just beer alone, you can get beer anywhere. It may be a little harder to find in our area. It's a little harder to find good craft beer, but you can get beer, you know, at your local supermarket or, you know, some of the restaurants. So the community involvement, it's building a place that they want to come and they want to hang out and they want to stay a while. Getting them to really like what you have.
That's great. All right. Well, that's awesome. I think it's time we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back. This is Lori with Pete the Job Guy.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
All right, welcome back. That's our show sponsor, Angie Staffing. I do recommend that you give Angie a call for all of your staffing needs. If you didn't catch her number, let me give that to you again, 904-703-8880. And she's definitely bringing the hustle back. So, Joanne, I just love this whole idea of the community and the collaboration for building a business. And you know, I've heard you talk about you collaborated with people who come to your establishment and they can come and bring like the yoga instructor or the craft maker or the musicians and really giving that opportunity for everyone to have a little bit of a good time. I noticed that when you mentioned you made a decision when you had the city ordinance change that it was because you didn't want to be a restaurant. So if I think about if I'm just coming in for a beer, how is that going to get me to stay there, right? So if I'm just coming in for beer because I don't have any food, do I leave? Do you have more of a turnover? How does that community happen if you have people who aren't staying?
Well, we are food friendly, and what that means is you can bring your own. You can have food delivered. We are next door to an Italian restaurant, so a lot of people will order from them. We also do a pretty much once a month potluck. So that's always been a lot of fun. Our customers really love the potlucks. A lot of times we'll do that and try to raise money for a local charity.
Nice.
So, you know, we'll provide the protein and, you know, we'll have it catered by a local restaurant and then everyone just kind of brings a side. So that's always a lot of fun.
That's great. And as you think about kind of your full range of options. You said you're family friendly, so I'm sure you've got games and things to keep the younger ones who aren't drinking.
Yeah, we have board games. We have a foosball table. So we try to keep them, you know, with things to do.
So what about the people who are not beer drinkers or maybe are watching some carbohydrates and things like that that may feel like, well, I can't have a whole lot of beer. What do you do for people who aren't beer drinkers or looking differently?
We have some sodas, and we also have a decent wine selection. One thing that, as from a brewer's point of view, not everybody drinks beer, not everybody likes beer, and stereotypically, it's the wife that drinks wine and the husband drinks beer. And if you keep the wife happy, then the husband can stay longer. So we keep a decent selection of wine on tap or in bottles, and then we try to make sure that people are involved with the wine selection, too. So
oh,
we
really?
Do
How do you do that?
We do once a month or once a quarter, like a wine tasting, a free wine tasting. And the crowd favorite is what ends up going back on, or going on the menu.
So you have reds and whites and...
We have four reds and four whites, and then we have a rosé and a prosecco.
Wow. All right, hard workers. Are you feeling a little thirsty? I think I am. So I thought it would be fun... And if we had a few laughs and some final comments, that we might do a quick lightning round. Are you up for that?
Sure.
Okay, so here's the rules. It's one word or one phrase. You got to answer what first comes to mind, and we'll see what happens. What's your favorite what's your personal biggest pet peeve?
Bad breath.
All right. What's your favorite SJ Brewing Company beer?
Bunny Brown.
Who has, what beer is your favorite from a competitor in the craft brewing community?
Anything dark from Southern Tier.
Ah, all right. Do you like cats or dogs?
Dogs.
If you had $1 million, what would you buy first?
Another horse.
All right. What would its name be? We'll know what the next beer is going to be. Who's your favorite aunt?
Well, of course, Lori.
Thank you. All right. So that's awesome. So, Joanne, I want to give you a moment just to maybe share some final words for those hard workers that are out there who are maybe thinking about taking their hobby to the next step and what you, advice you'd give. And I'd also like for you to tell all of our hard worker audience listeners out there how they can find you if they're looking for a great beer.
Well, you can follow us on Instagram or Facebook. Our handle is Yulee Beer. This is obviously, we're the only brewery in Yulee, SJ Brewing Company. Our website is sjbrewingco.com. You can also email us at sjbrewing@yahoo.com. Those are the easiest ways. And we keep all of our events updated on our website and on Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. So closing advice for our listeners.
I would say if you're looking at opening a business, really listen to your heart and listen to the people around you so that you can, you may not have the absolute best product, but if you listen to the people around you, you can. You know, that's how you can improve and figure out how to get your product out there, how to, you know, fulfill other people's needs.
Nice, nice. Well done. Well, there it is. You guys out on our radio waves, you could have slept in, you could have mowed the lawn, you could have done any number of things, but you tuned in and invested in you. And that's really the difference between working hard and hardly working, is where you take the time to invest in yourself, sharpen the saw, and get up, get out, and learn something. So, huge thank you, Joanne, for coming and sharing your story and being so inspiring to see where our hobby might be able to take us. We're going to wrap this show up with some shout outs, as always, and have inspiration from none other than Boston Danny. And if you would like to have Danny recognize someone that you know's birthday, anniversary, special event, you can go to the website at www.petethejobguy.com. Click on the Weekly Contributors tab and fill out the request for Boston Danny. And that way, he can give you a shout out like only Boston Danny can do. Take it away, Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here with your Northern update. So, November's coming in with a roar, that's for sure, up here. The weather's definitely changed, you know, getting colder. And we had our first snowstorm last Friday. So, you know, just enough to get the streets wet and slippery, but, you know, people always like to freak out and get what they're going, and, you know, but we made through it. People understand it's time for the weather, you know. It's just, you know, when we get the really big snows, people got to remember to shovel off their cars, too. They leave that mountain of ice up on top of their roofs and stuff. They're driving down the highway. That stuff can fling off, and it can be a safety hazard. I know you folks don't have to deal with that, but sometimes you get them 18-wheelers, they get sheets of ice up there, the wind just lifts them right off. Can be a pretty scary moment. So we got that going for us. We got the winter weather definitely setting in. Make special conditions up here when you're working, but we get through it, everyone gets done with it, and we have a good time for it. It's good to see Laurie hosting. I know you have a lot of fun with Peter. It's a good time when you guys are on together. You guys got a good rapport. I like to hear you guys talking about it. And your guest Joanne, good for her, you know. Breweries up here, you know, we started out with the Samuel Adams, and it seems like we got breweries everywhere. Dorchester even has its own brewery now. It's called the Dorchester Brewing Company. How original. But they got a few good beers, just like everybody else. But, you know, the breweries, I love all those new beers you guys come out with. Some of them get really strong, and they can do a number on you. So you got to watch yourself up there. But it's a good business. I'm glad you had fun with it, so. I'm going to have to be quick this week, folks. Anything you got coming for your shout-outs, let me know. I got a Wicked Pisser birthday wish for Jamie Smith, Jimmy Hudson, and Jason Maroney. I'd just like to get that out there for you guys. You know what I say, do it for yourself, because that's your day, so you got to enjoy it. So Peter and Laurie, brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, enjoy everything. You know, stay warm down there. Think of us here up in north while we're getting our northeasters and everything else that comes through it. But it's only going to be for the next 6 months, so we'll get back to spring and we'll be loving it again. I'll talk to you folks next week. Bye.
Hard workers, thanks for making us part of your day. Danny, thanks for always giving us that Boston inspiration. Joanne, thank you so much for being here and sharing your story with us and for taking the beer levels to the next one, if you will. If you missed any part of this broadcast and you'd like to listen to it in its entirety, that is absolutely awesome. The podcast will be available on Monday afternoon at the website www.petethejobguy.com. Pete's going to be back next week, and I look forward to being your host sometime again soon. We hope you had a few laughs today, learned a few things, got a little thirsty, and are ready to get out there and get to it. We've just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.